Well, hello there, and welcome back to the Thai Expat Daily Show. I'm your host, Kira Mack, as always, and delighted that you've been able to tune in with us yet again today. Now, before we do get into today's show, don't forget to like, subscribe, and share if you get a chance. And if you do fancy listening to us on a podcast player, link below down in the description will take you to a website with all the various podcast players that the show is on. And finally, if you would like to support the show, there is a link below for Buy Me a Coffee, where you can donate up to $5, $10 to the show, and that obviously will help us continue to bring you great content. And now that that's all done and dusted, let's jump into the top five stories that are doing the rounds today. And the first one is in relation to proposals to address the air pollution in Maasai, and that's going to be submitted to the government. Now, before anybody we get in further into this story, just in case people don't know, the north of Thailand currently, and Bangkok and other parts of Thailand, are covered in PM2.5. In fact, up in Chiang Mai and Chiang Rai, it is so bad there that it has been declared hazardous for your health to be even in the area. It's completely covered in a haze. People are being told to wear special N95 masks and to try not to go outdoors because it's that bad. So something has to be done about it. Now, the private sector and civic groups in Maasai district in Chiang Rai have formulated a short and long-term measures to address airborne pollution, which is threatening livelihood and the physical health of residents in the district and elsewhere in northern provinces. In the short term, they want the authorities to declare Maasai District a public disaster zone so that relief and help can be mobilized, such as face masks, medications, and air purifying devices. They also want Chiang Rai governor to coordinate with the authorities in Myanmar and Laos, asking them to instruct their people to cease lighting or to reduce forest fires and the burning of farm waste in strict compliance with the ASEAN Agreement on Transboundary Haze Pollution, which was approved by all ASEAN member countries back in 2002. Moreover, they want the officials to get tough with people who light fires in forests or on farmland and to provide more equipment to help firefighters and volunteers. Long term, the civic groups and the private sector want the Commerce Ministry to lift the zero rated import tax requirement under the ASEAN Free Trade Area Agreement on maize imported into Thailand from neighbouring countries, as they blame maize farmers for most of the fires caused by farm waste burning. They recommend that the government and agencies concerned address this problem with maize importers in the hope that they will cease or reduce the burning of their farm waste. The measures are to be submitted to the District Chief Officer of Maasai for forwarding to the government and other relevant agencies. PM2.5 levels in Maasai District have exceeded safety levels for about a week now, mostly caused by fires in forests and on farmlands, both locally and in Myanmar and Laos, as people in the district have been left to fend for themselves. So in essence, yes, they've been left to fend for themselves because the government couldn't give an absolute continental shit about it. I mean, this has been going on for years and they absolutely do nothing about it. They put people's health in jeopardy. I mean, it's clear that it's affecting people's health. The hospitals are full. People are getting respiratory symptoms from all different kinds of things from this, and people are getting sick. And yet the government don't seem to care. They just continue as if it didn't happen. In fact, I think a quote from the Prime Minister a few weeks ago was that he didn't want to ban and put pressure on the farmers because they're poor. So that's the excuse for harming people. Now, when we had COVID, right, which, you know, at the beginning, nobody knew about, we had lockdowns, we had to take vaccines, we had all kinds of rules and regulations, and they were well able to coordinate that when they had to. But for something that is really getting such bad press around the world, I mean, Chiang Mai has the worst air quality in the entire world at the moment, and yet they do nothing. It's just this kind of like couldn't give a shit attitude. Because it really doesn't affect them. I suppose they're down in their little private villas somewhere on the coast where they don't need to worry about that. But it's an absolute disgrace that a government would not take action. And I do hope for many people here in the country that this starts to change. I mean, it's a hot election topic. And surely when these guys are calling to the door, this is the kind of thing they should be asking them. What are you going to do about it if we vote you in? There's no point voting in the current crop of guys because they clearly don't care. They've been in power since 2014. Up until now, they've done nothing. So there's no reason to believe they'll ever do anything new. So something has to change. Hopefully a new government will come in and take care of this issue. Because the bottom line is banning the burning and then make enforcement. and people caught doing it should be fined. And they should face consequences for what they're up to. It's an absolute disgrace. And I'm just so surprised. I mean, this has to be one of the worst years I've ever seen. And I'm just absolutely surprised, even with the government that we have, that they've allowed it to get this bad. But nevertheless, let's do hope things get better. Now, moving along, an interesting story in Phuket. Foreign workers called in for street brawl in Soi Sansibai. Three foreigners have been called in for engaging in a street brawl in Soi Sansibai, that's just off Bangla Road in Patong, earlier this morning. A video showing the brawl has already been posted on social media. The video shows three foreign men attacking three tourists, with one of the foreigners using what appears to be an aluminum bar, reports the government-operated Phuket Info Center. Now, this actually appeared on Phuket Hot News, which is a Thai website, earlier this morning. That's where it first broke. Police were called to the scene, a street-side restaurant in Soi Sansibai, located off the inland end of Bangla Road, at 12:50 a.m., said the report by police. When the officers arrived, only three people involved in the brawl were still there. Jordanian national Mohammed Alamari, and Egyptian national Mohammed Ahmed Fayal, both 25 years old, and Mr. Y. Lu So, nationality wasn't given. All three men worked for the Atlas restaurant where the fight started. The report said that five foreign tourists who were drunk had ordered food at the restaurant and told the staff to hurry up. The staff told the group that they had to wait their turn. Unhappy with the response, one of the drunken group reportedly threw a bottle of water into the restaurant's serving area, sparking a heavy-handed response from the staff. At last report, police have located the tourists involved and called them in to present themselves to police in order to give a statement regarding their version of events. So this is basically what happened. Somebody threw a bottle of water. Don't think it hit anyone. And these three guys came out of a restaurant basically and just started a whole brawl. Now, what do I think about this? Firstly, why was this restaurant? I'd be getting quite nervous because what apparently seems to be the trend now on social media, especially when you look at some of the Thai social media, the first questions asked, well, today when I read the story is, what are they doing serving in a restaurant? That's a job for a Thai, not for Egyptian nationals. And there's three of them in there. So if we look at the rules and regulations here in Thailand, if there's three foreigners working legally within that restaurant, there should be at least 12 Thais working. That's in order to be able to get the work permit, the 4-to-1 ratio. And what exactly, how many foreigners are working here? It seems to me that this restaurant could be in an awful lot of trouble, because I'm pretty sure when stuff like this happens, people start to take notice. And it's been happening now for a while that there's a spotlight being shone on how many foreigners are working this island and jobs that they should not be doing. And yet again, here comes the case. Now, in this case, both sets are wrong. The tourists, number one, are wrong for throwing in a bottle, if they did or whatever happened. And also, the restaurant workers, their reaction is completely unnecessary and overreactionary. Regardless of what happened, you should keep your cool in these kind of situations. And especially when you're in a restaurant that looks like it's been, you know, maybe bending the rules in terms of employment of foreign nationals. But nevertheless, I'm just, you know, speculating on that based on my own knowledge of things and how things work. So what exactly should be the outcome here? Well, this is my personal opinion. The three guys who came out, I'm sorry, if we're going to talk about cleaning up Phuket, time to start sending a message to people. They came out with bars. They came out fighting. You know what? Arrest them, put them through the court system, and then when they're finished, deport them. That's how I see it from now on. And also these foreign tourists, if they did throw the bottle, they should also face the same punishment. I have been talking with friends of mine, Thai friends who live here in Phuket, and there is a nervousness within Thai people at the moment at the direction of which Phuket is going. It seems very lawless at the moment. There's no real law enforcement, there's no rules and regulations. It's just a free-for-all at the moment. And police only ever seem to turn up when something goes wrong, but they're certainly not there to stop it beforehand. Police presence is very, very bad. And I'm going to be doing a show this week focusing on what my vision of the next 5 years for Phuket is and exactly where Phuket is on what path it's on. I think it's important to look at these kind of things. But nevertheless, you know, as I was saying, that Phuket is changing drastically. And I think the authorities here seem unprepared to do anything about it. Now, is it a place that people are going to want to continue to come to in the future? Well, we're going to talk about that in another show. But nevertheless, this incident highlights, in my opinion, what's so wrong in Phuket at the moment. Random violence, people who are just too eager to fight as quickly as they can. And not a Thai involved in any of this, by the way. All foreigners. And it gives foreigners a bad name. And these things like these, when this happens, in my opinion, the law should come down heavy-handed to send a message to other people. If you do this here in Thailand, you're going to pay the price. Don't know what you think about it, but I'd love to know your opinion down below, as always. And moving along, Chinese investors snapping up real estate in Phuket. Now, this seems to be a hot story. It actually seems to be between both the Russians and the Chinese. Chinese investors are rushing to buy real estate in Phuket, snapping up condos, villas, shop houses, and durian orchards to cater to tourists from their own country, according to the property consultant Knight Frank Thailand. Nata Kapana, the consultant's managing director, said the Phuket property market is experiencing a surge in demand fueled by Chinese property investors and Russian buyers. Russians are buying real estate in Phuket to live. They intend to buy immediately as they want to start moving in right away, he said. More Chinese investors are expected to come to buy 7 to 8 months after the flow of tourists. While Russians are interested in buying pool villas, Chinese investors like every type of property comprising of condos, villas, shop houses and even durian orchard, said Mr. Nata. They want to rent out condos and villas to Chinese tourists, taking them to visit durian orchards, he noted. Our office in Phuket was located near Laguna and two adjacent 3.5-story shop houses that we bought many years ago for 14 million baht, Mr. Nata said. Recently, a Chinese investor snapped up the neighboring units, totaling 47 shop houses, including ours. We sold them for 50 million baht. The investors also requested Knight Frank to find a durian orchard of around 200 rai to buy, planning to offer durian tours to Chinese tourists, he noted. In Bangkok, the rental apartment market is in locations from Ploy Chit to Ekamai, with rents of more than 50,000 baht per month, resumed in the first quarter of 2023, said Frank Khan, executive director and head of residential. The occupancy of apartments in this location recovered to 40% from 10% during the pandemic, he said. Many multinational companies and their executives are coming back, particularly expatriates from Singapore, Taiwan, Hong Kong and Malaysia. Mr. Khan said this is a good sign for the rental market for the remainder of the year, with demand for luxury condos likely resuming in inner city locations from Thai investors who bought condo units for rent after holding off during the pandemic. The condo market in the second half of 2023 will have strong growth, with the key drivers the general election and a new cabinet likely named by the third quarter, he said. In the first quarter of 2023, the condo market in three locations, Wireless Road, Lang Suan and Ekamai, exhibited high demand for both new and resale units. One of the key factors boosted demand was the influx of foreign buyers, according to Knight Frank. So what I find peculiar about this is, firstly, how are Chinese investors coming here to Thailand and buying orchards, 200 rai of land? Now, this needs to be seriously looked at by the government before things get completely out of control. We all know that land cannot be owned by foreigners. And the idea that, you know, they're going to use these nominees, which more than likely are illegal, right? Because half the time these nominees aren't even real people. It's just down on paper. And these are fake businesses being set up. Again, shop houses. How are they buying shop houses? And all this needs to be looked very carefully at by the Phuket government and, you know, the land offices here in Phuket. If this continues the way it is going, there'll soon be no places left for Thai citizens to live in Phuket. They will be outpriced out of the market. They won't be able to, let alone rent, but certainly not buy in Phuket anymore. And this is what's going to become a huge problem here. Now, as I said in a previous segment, we are going to be looking at where I see Phuket in the next 3 to 5 years, and that's going to be coming up during the week. But this kind of stuff, Phuket, if it wants, and Thailand as a whole, as a country, has to decide if this is what it really wants. An island that soon will be outpriced for locals who will find it ever increasingly harder to buy property because the price is just going to be driven up to the point that the average Thai won't be able to afford to buy a home. And this, I think, needs to be looked at. Before or during COVID, I remember there was so much talk from this government about restructuring the tourism market, restructuring all this kind of investment in Thailand and property, etc., etc. But as soon as the country reopened, it was as if it was just sound bites during the pandemic to make them sound good. But as soon as the country opened up, it was free flow tourism, as many as we need. We need 40, 50, 60 million tourists. What happened to the quality over quantity rhetoric that we had to listen to for 2.5 years? All gone, of course. And again, now Phuket is turning into a place where we will not be seeing too many locals because they won't be able to afford to live in Phuket soon. And it does really need to be looked at. I can't stress how much I feel and how much this topic certainly interests me. But nevertheless, I'd love to know your opinion, guys, as always, down below. Now, moving along, and an interesting story, and I think this could be Phuket's future as well, but Bali hotels, tour guides to play a new role in crackdown on unruly tourists. In another attempt to bring unruly tourists under control, Aussies evading to Bali may discover something different when checking into their hotel. Now, this is actually from a news website in Australia, but it's an interesting article. In another attempt to bring unruly tourists under control, Bali is turning to its hotels and tourism workers to educate foreigners on local customs and acceptable behavior. The Indonesian Hotel and Restaurant Association for Bali wants tourism leaders to ensure foreign visitors are educated on what they can and can't do. The PHR Secretary, Perry Marcus, said the association and Bali's tourism board had joined with 9 stakeholders and issued flyers, according to local news outlet NusaBali.com. The idea is to have the tourism sector play a proactive role in anticipating bad behavior and stopping it. The Bali Sun reported that this could also include tour guides not only showing off the sites, but instructing tourists on how to behave there. Mr. Marcus said tourists needed to be educated on how to dress appropriately and abide by the law when riding motorcycles, including wearing a helmet and obeying traffic rules. Tourists are also being instructed not to get drunk in public and only wear swimwear in appropriate settings. Attention was also drawn to social media, with tourism workers helping educate foreigners on what not to post, like this influencer who posted naked with a sacred tree, or this man who posted with a semi-naked on a sacred site. And these were both Russians, by the way. Getting hotels and tourism workers involved in stopping foreigners' visitors misbehaving is just one of a series of proposed changes spoken about in recent weeks. The Bali governor, Wayan Koster, revealed this month that he was asking the central government to stop Russian and Ukrainian tourists from being allowed to get a visa on arrival in the country due to the high number of violations, including getting jobs and overstaying the time permitted. Russians have become the second biggest group of visitors to Bali behind Australians. 2 weeks ago, Bloomberg reported that Mr. Koster had sought the legal ministry's support to let Bali revoke visas if any foreign tourists were found riding motorbikes. Bali's official campaign to crack down on how tourists behave, not only including leaflets and social media, but is also expected to see large billboards installed. Bali's tourism board chairman, Ido Bagas Agung, previously told the Bali Sun, "The point is that tourists respect Balinese culture, customs, by dressing well and neatly, following in an orderly manner, carrying out traffic activities, and not doing things that are outside the provisions." Now, there's another article that I read, I think it was in the Bangkok Post, and it goes on about the governor of Bali basically asking the central government to revoke this visa on arrival for Russian and Ukrainians. They're basically saying that the majority of crimes being committed at the moment in Bali are by Russians. Ukrainians not as much, and somehow Ukrainians are getting lumped into kind of what the Russians are up to as well. I'm not quite sure, because the figures in relation to crime there don't stack up against the Ukrainians. The biggest violations seem to be riding motorbikes, accidents, just general bad behavior, obviously overstaying their visas and working illegally in the country. And it sounds very familiar, doesn't it? It sounds a bit like Phuket. And I think a lot of Southeast Asian countries that are relatively cheap to live in are experiencing this problem at the moment. Now, I don't care where you come from or what you do for a living, but if you come to Thailand or you come to Southeast Asia, you need to respect the customs of that country when you arrive there. You need to be polite, respectful, follow the rules and regulations, follow the law, and be an ambassador for your country. Now, that doesn't seem to be happening with a lot of the guests that Southeast Asia seem to be getting at the moment. Now, why are Southeast Asia seeing so many Russians, for example, coming here? Well, it's mainly to do with the fact that they can't go to Europe or pretty much anywhere else. They seem to be banned from most places. No, well, let's say banned is a strong word. For example, they're not banned from going to Europe. They can still apply for a Schengen visa, but there are no flights from Russia directly to any EU country. So in other words, in order to get to Europe, they have to do a kind of a third party flight. So they have to go somewhere like say Istanbul, and then fly from Istanbul on to Europe. And that's how it is. Now, they can still get visas. There's no ban on them getting visas. To make things easy now, they're just looking at countries where they can go to, such as Southeast Asian countries, which are wide open, haven't really backed either side in the Ukraine-Russia conflict. And so they're warmly welcome there. Well, at least they were at the beginning. They thought of it as kind of a money wagon, in fairness, you know, lots of dollars coming over and rental properties. And after the pandemic, of course, everybody wants money, everybody wants tourists. So it sounds like a great idea, but now suddenly it's not, because the bad behavior, the way in which people are behaving. Now, in the article in the Bangkok Post that I read, which talked about this very same thing in Bali, they were interviewing a Russian man who's been living there for quite a while, and he had taken it upon himself to try educate his own countrymen about how to behave when they're in Indonesia. And he was saying, basically, a lot of these people are coming from provinces that, you know, are in the ass end of nowhere. And they've never been outside of their own country. And they just figure they turn up in another country and voila, just behave as they would in their own country. And he said, this is one of the biggest problems. And he's been going out of his way trying to educate people on how they should behave in Bali or in Indonesia. And I guess, you know, you have to take your hat off to him and say, well done for trying that. It's probably not going to be an easy thing. Now, the idea that hotel workers and tour guides have to start educating tourists on how to behave, I think, is not a great idea. I think if you want to educate people, the first thing you need to do is start before they get on the plane. And then information on the plane, on their way here, and information when they get here. When you're in Indonesia, this is how you have to behave. When you're in Thailand, this is how you have to behave. We have customs and culture here, and a rich culture and a rich history, and we'd like that to be respected by you when you come here. The same way that if we went to your country, we would expect you, or you would expect us to, you know, treat your country with respect. And I think a lot of this needs to be heated. You know, I'm very much on the side of these countries that where they have influxes of people that they haven't really had before, and they're not sure how to handle it. I do think law enforcement plays a big part, being strict with people at the beginning so you send the right message as well. So if people are breaking the law, if people are doing things that they shouldn't be doing, well then, you know, follow the law, deport them at the end, send a message out to people that if you misbehave in our country, you're going home. And I think that would be a way to solve some of this. But I'd love to know what you think, as always, down below in that comment section. And finally, yeah, no booze, powder or immodesty at the Bangkok Songkran events. And that's according to the governor of Bangkok, Chachert. Dear Songkran revelers, if you like to drink or show off your body, there will be no place for you at a city-sanctioned event this year, and that's according to City Hall. Bangkok Governor Chachert Sittipunt said yesterday that people, and he was actually referencing women, won't be allowed to wear revealing clothes during the upcoming festivities, which fall on April 13 to 15th. Among other rules are no booze sales, no use of high-pressure water guns, and no smearing of powder on faces or other body parts. Every Songkran in recent years has been accompanied by a drumbeat of browbeating and fretting over its tendency to turn lewd and drunk as people let loose and shed essential clothing along with their inhibitions. Few things wind up the city fathers like unabashed women in control of their body. Despite repeated threats that the wet days of Songkran will be dry of alcohol, that has only been the case at official city events. Although Chachert was vague, it's highly unlikely a general booze ban will be declared anywhere in Bangkok during Songkran. The city will organise events April 12th through April 14th in the Old Quarter, Lan Khon Muang District, located between City Hall and the Giant Swing. Officials also promised to release a map showing designated areas of Bangkok's 50th district where water fights are allowed, almost as if anyone will heed it. The online map will rate different areas by the intensity of water splashing and overall wetness. This year's Songkran festivities will mark the first free of any COVID-19 restrictions in 4 years. And hooray to that! Now, when they talk about no booze and rules and regulations, this will be only at city-sanctioned events. So if there's an event sanctioned by the city, the idea is that they will have rules and regulations. So, you know, no booze, no powder smearing, women with their clothes on, etc., etc. But this will be the rules and regulations for Bangkok. Somewhat similar to Phuket, because they have designated areas that they say really this, we're running these events. So if we're running the event as the government or city hall in Bangkok or the governor of Phuket or Pattaya or wherever it may be, there will be rules and regulations around it. Not like the COVID rules, you know, which we had before. These are obviously different ones just to make sure people are kept safe more than anything. But yeah, Songkran is coming up. Yeah, Songkran is always fun. Of course, we'll have these 7 days of danger during that week where people will die unnecessarily because of just the craziness of what people do here over these holiday events. But nevertheless, that is it for today, guys. Hope you enjoyed the show. And we'll talk to you in the next couple of days. As always, have a great day and stay safe. But ultimately, with this story or anything else that stood out to you today, I'd love to know your thoughts in the comments down below. Because yes, this is a new show, but it's also a conversation. Now keep that conversation going. Make sure you like this video, subscribe to the channel, share the video, and do all the good stuff that does help that YouTube algorithm. But ultimately, my name is Kieran Mack. You've been listening to the Thai Expat Daily Show, and we will see you next time.